All right, let's talk Christmas. What do you think?
Let's do it.
All right. We spoke last week about beholding the glory of the Lord. Do you guys remember that? So I want to just pick up where we left off. No one remembered, so we'll just pretend that you were all here listening. We'll pick up where we left off. It's spoken about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. So I just want to take a few minutes, and we're gonna look at some Christmas things this morning. But I want to lay down a principle before we do it. It says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So it says here that we behold. Behold just means to focus on, to look at. And it doesn't mean just glance at. It means to fix on. Okay? So as we behold the glory of the Lord, it says we're transformed. There's a principle here. I like to say it this way. We become what we behold. The Bible teaches that we become what we behold. And this can work in the positive or in the negative. But you see this principle in Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 and 23, where Jesus says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. Be careful what you behold. It will in some way enter you and begin to transform you." Amen? And so it makes sense that as we behold the glory of the Lord, we would be transformed. Jesus desires us to behold his glory. Now, just that right there is something to think about. Jesus desires us to behold his glory. He prayed this lengthy prayer. You can find it in John chapter 17. And towards the end of it, he prays, "Father, I desire that they would be with me where I am, that they may see my glory. Father, I want them near me. I want them to see my glory." Now, it's not like God is just showing off his glory because, it's like when you're that much better than everyone else, what's the point of showing off? It's not like anyone's competing with you, right? There's something in it for us. He wants us to be around him to see his glory for us. There's something in it for us. And what's in it for us is that beholding him, beholding his glory, transforms us. It changes us on the inside. So it would behoove us to do this. So how do we behold him? And I talked about this a little bit last week, but we're going to talk about this morning. I believe we behold him by meditating on every aspect of him that's revealed to us. We behold him, I said last week, we behold him in worship. And again, it's not enough just to sing the words. It's when we focus in, when we think about what we're singing, when we begin to consider it, when we begin to see something about Jesus in what we're singing. When we read the scripture and we focus in on what we're learning and it shows us something about Jesus and we stare at it and we behold him, we focus on it. We begin to see a glory of Jesus, some aspect, some facet of him, and it begins to change us as we gaze on it. Amen? And so when we behold every or any aspect that we find in Scripture or in worship or in something about Jesus, we're beholding his glory, and it transforms us little by little from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. It transforms us. And it turns out there are a lot of behold verses in the Bible, or quite a few anyway, and the majority of them center around the common Christmas verses. Interesting, isn't it? And so Christmas is an excellent time to behold him. Now, let's say, for example, you went home and you had children or grandchildren or whatever, people at your house, and you wanted to make Christmas about Jesus just to be different, okay? Maybe right before you ripped into the presents or something. And you had a manger. Do we have a manger? Well, I know we have one over here. There we go. You have a manger, and all the usual suspects are there, right? Now, and you have notes. I've given you notes in the Bible. You could take these home with you, actually, and you could do this yourself. You do not have to be a professional. You and your children, you could do this. All you need is a manger and children or adults or people, okay? So we're going to take a moment, and we'll just use the manger and the scriptures to spend a few minutes beholding Jesus like they did in Christmas. Because this was, at the first Christmas, a really big deal. A lot changed. I mean, a lot changed. There are things that they had no idea were going on that were going on at this time. Okay? So let's begin. Now, I might start by picking up Joseph and the angel and saying, you know, kids, this is Joseph, this is an angel. They had a conversation. They had an encounter because Joseph had himself a problem. He was in a delicate situation and wasn't sure how to handle it because he was betrothed to a woman who it turns out was pregnant, right? And so the angel shows up and helps Joseph out. And the angel shows up, and the angel actually quotes from Isaiah, and he says, "Behold." Now, a lot of these say "behold." So what I want you to remember here is "behold" doesn't mean, yeah, 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 I know this verse. "Behold" means stop, stare at this, think about this. "Behold, look at this. What does it reveal? Let's be changed from glory to glory as we behold Jesus." So, "behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Now, this had not happened for 4,000 years since God walked in the garden with them. He interacted with them, but at a distance, at a remove, under very special circumstances. "God with us" was a new thing. "Behold, God became a man to reveal himself to us." You ever heard the saying, "People find God, I found God"? No one finds God. If God doesn't want to be found, he has the universe to hide in and you're stuck here. You ain't going to find him. No one finds God. Seriously. "Behold, he finds us." God became a man specifically to reveal himself to us. He desires to reveal himself to us. Now just again, behold, think about that. How does that affect your heart towards God? God wants to show himself to me, to you. That's pretty wild. That was a new concept for them, that God wanted to personally be with them, that he is accessible, that he wants to be known. You can know God. He is not a God who is afar off. He's a God who's near. He's a God you can know. You can know him like you know people in your family. If I were sitting around with my kids, I'd say, "Kids, you can know God. He is personally interested in you. You can know him." In fact, if you want to go a little farther on the story, we know that he would grow up, become a man, live a sinless life, and die on a cross to become the way for us to be with him forever. He is Emmanuel now. He is God with us. He is God in us. He accomplished that through the cross because sin had entered the world, and through sin, death. And we all were under the sentence of death because of sin. All of us had sinned. Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, literally took on our sins on the cross, that we might become the righteousness of God if we put faith in him. This is a good time to tell your kids that. So he is God with us because if we put faith in him, he'll send his Holy Spirit to live in us. He would be the one, the perfect one, who would die to make the way for us to be with him forever in heaven. Isn't that awesome? That was a new thing. They didn't get that. Now, this speaks of his love, which is unconditional. God so loved the world that he gave his son. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. Romans 5, God demonstrates his love for us. And because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It didn't matter if you were looking for him or if you were just looking for a party, he still died for us, each one of us. His love is unconditional. Here's an interesting thing, and this is an important point to parse, because the world is out there saying, because his love is unconditional, no matter what you do, he'll accept you, and that's not true. His love is unconditional. His acceptance is vast, but it's not unconditional. It has a very significant condition. In Ephesians 1, in verse 6, he uses this term. Paul calls us accepted in the beloved in verse 6. Isn't that awesome? Ponder that. Think about that. That because of Jesus, you are accepted in the beloved. In verse 7, it says it's because of the blood of Christ, because of that sacrifice. The condition to being accepted in the beloved is Christ had to die on the cross to make a way for us to be with him. John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. There is no other way. I am the door. I am the way. There is no other way. So we are accepted in the beloved if we put faith in Jesus. That is the condition. So, harsh as it sounds, his love is unconditional. His love was for all men. He came and died for all men. But if we dare to say, thanks, Jesus, that's nice that you made a way, but I don't like that way, I'd like another way. Does that sound unrealistic? People are saying it every day. I'd like to go this way. That way seems narrow and hard. I'm going to take this broad way, and I'd still like to go. Don't be upset if you're not accepted, because it cost him his son to make the way. You understand? That's the message of Christmas, that God gave his only begotten son. That whoever believes in him should have everlasting life. He loves us unconditionally. He loves us so much he made a way. But you get to choose whether you take that way or not. That way is the condition to being with Emmanuel, the one who loves us. Now, I also might, pick up the wise men, because they were fun. They came from a long way off, and you can have a lot of fun with that. And I tell my kids, the wise men had a revelation also. We can read about that in Matthew chapter 2. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, look at this, wise men from the east, that's a long way, came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him. Jumping down a little bit, when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them. I mean, that's pretty awesome, isn't it? God just said, put a star up there and said, follow me to King of Kings. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary's mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. Just want to point out, if I was talking to my kids, I'd say, you know what the wise men learned? You know what they saw? That he is the king born worthy to be worshiped. Born worthy. Not made worthy. Didn't earn it. Born worthy. Born the king. Came and that king came and became a man for us. We worship him because he is worthy. In fact, God is always leading us to worship. Remember the star? I'd show the kids the star and say, he's always leading us to worship. And the reason is God loves us, and there's something in worshiping him. And it's this, that we want to behold him because we're changed from glory to glory. And the primary way we behold him is we worship him. The reason is this, in Psalm 22, it says that he literally inhabits or dwells in or is enthroned in his praises. He dwells in or is enthroned in the praises of Israel. Whenever we worship God, he comes and gets in the midst of us. You want to behold him? Worship him. And say, kids, he's worthy of worship, and it's how we behold him. And he'll come in our midst if we worship him, and you'll get to see his glory, and you'll be changed, and you'll be transformed. They rejoiced with exceeding great joy. He is the source of joy. You can try and get joy in a lot of places, but at the end of the day, the best place to get it is to worship him. He is the source of joy. He is always worth the journey to encounter them. If you're feeling particularly spunky, you can say, the wise men came all the way from the east. You can get your butt out of bed and come to church and worship him. It's always worth the journey. Maybe you have to journey through, you know, inconvenience. Maybe you have to journey through your own pain, through offense, whatever. It's always worth the journey to worship Him. There's joy there. There's an encounter with God. That's what I'd tell my kids. So you got Mary there and the baby Jesus. And, of course, Mary gets a behold. She gets a revelation, too. The angel's involved in this one again. In Luke chapter 1, we read, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." That's pretty awesome. That's a behold. Think about that. Now, that comes right out of the angel is referencing Isaiah 9, which is also a common Christmas passage that we read. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end, upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." I'd probably tell him, you know what Mary learned? That he was going to be the king of the earth, the king of heaven and earth, that he is the greatest and wisest leader ever. Kids, he's worth following. If you don't know what to do, you should check the words of Jesus. He's wiser than anyone. If the words of Jesus don't help you, if they aren't specific enough, you should pray. You should ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom. Because there is no better, no greater, no wiser leader than Jesus. He is worth following. You will end up better off for doing it. And if you ever find yourself in the place where you feel like you're suffering from injustice, just remember, He's the one who will bring justice to the earth. He is the one that will reign with justice and with peace. He is the giver of justice. He is the source of your hope. Men may fail you. I wouldn't put your hope necessarily in the government or in officials or in whatever. But you can put your hope in Jesus. He is the source of hope. Amen. He will bring justice to the earth. His reign will be awesome and will never end. He is the greatest leader ever. You can trust him. You should follow him. I might tell my kids that. And then finally, we have the shepherds. Now, you know, the shepherds were in rural Bethlehem, think Holopaw, for those of you locally. Okay? West Melbourne, whatever, I don't know. You know, probably had stuff on their shoes and talked funny and things like that. But of all the places the angel appeared, they appear to these shepherds. In Luke chapter 2, "Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold," look at this, pay attention, something interesting. "Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory in God, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men.'" And there's a bunch of cool stuff to behold here. The first is this: He is the Savior of all men. He reveals His glory to the lowly. I'd say, kids, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you do. He will reveal His glory to you because He is the Savior of all men. And that word Savior, without going into a whole lot of you know, Hebrew or Greek or whatever, is a very all-encompassing word. It means to be saved from our sin. It means to be delivered from bondage. It means to be healed from our sicknesses and infirmities. It is a very all-encompassing salvation. He is the Savior of all men, and He starts with the lowest and reveals Himself and reveals His glory. Anyone can be saved if they'll put their faith in Jesus. Now, what I love, my favorite part, is this. He shows up, the angel shows up to these shepherds, these lowly guys, and then as he gets towards the end, a heavenly choir. Now you gotta picture this: a multitude of the heavenly host praising God. This is a show, guys. I mean, they got a show. A multitude of heavenly hosts start singing. It's like they couldn't stay out; they had to get in. God said, "All right, it's a big deal. My son's being born. What should we do?" And they said, "We gotta get a choir, and we gotta sing to the shepherds." Because I don't know why, just them. That'll do. And so they start up and they start singing. What are they singing? Catch this. They begin to sing God's intentions from heaven to men on earth. They sing, on earth, peace, goodwill. I tell my kids, the shepherds learn that God's intentions towards us are peace and good. Kids, God's intentions towards you were always peace and good. Always peace and good. Now, they got scared when they saw the glory of God. It says right here, the glory shone around them, and they freaked out, right? That's what it says. They were greatly afraid. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid. See, God can be scary because He's holy. But His intentions are peace and good. I'd say, kids, don't ever be afraid of God. In fact, we were learning 1 John 4:18 that it's His perfect love that casts out fear. He's the one that delivers you from fear. If you ever find yourself afraid, run to God. Don't run away from Him. Even if you're afraid because of your own sin or your own failings, don't run away from God. Run to Him. He's the one that will deliver you from your fear. His intentions towards you are always good and always peace. And that is what I'd tell my kids if I had a manger and it was Christmas, you know. And I want them to learn to behold. Amen? So, you know, feel free if you want to. We can get Bob, bring the band back up. You got a song for us to close with? We just want to behold a little more here this morning, and then we're going to turn you loose to go get ready for Christmas, to enjoy the season. Don't have to wait for tomorrow. We can enjoy Jesus now. And come back tonight and we'll do some more.